Convicted of murdering his wife and hiding her body for several months, he is in court at this hour expected to hear his sentence. The disappearance of Naomi Arnett from her home in Sadorus back in May of last year touched off a series of efforts to find her. Those efforts ended that September when searchers found her body in a shallow grave outside the town. Robert Arnett was charged with strangling her in her home and hiding the body. Last September, a jury found him guilty. Arnett could receive up to a 60-year sentence for the murder, which is what State's Attorney Julia Reed says she will ask for. Jury selection started to get underway in Chicago in the fraud trial of former Chicago political leader Edward Verdoliak. The 71-year-old Verdoliak is charged with scheming with political fixer Stuart Levine to arrange a kickback in the sale of a Northside medical building. His case is scheduled for a jury selection before the U.S. District Judge Milton Shader today. Verdoliak is best known for leading a spectacular city council fight against the city's first black mayor, Harold Washington, in the mid-80s. With the clock ticking down toward Election Day tomorrow, clerks in Illinois' 102 counties are hustling to get ready for what they expect to be an eye-popping turnout in deciding who will be the next U.S. president. The state nearly quadrupled its former early voting record, reaching a high of 821,000 in the first general election where voting before Election Day was an option. Illinois election officials hope that record turnout in advance of the actual Election Day means shorter lines tomorrow, when many expect turnout to be at about 80%. Still, there's worry that many of the state's remaining 6.9 million registered voters could clog the polls. About 220,000 people cast ballots before Election Day in the February primaries in Illinois. Democrats are expected to maintain or even add to the majorities in the Illinois General Assembly tomorrow. Sean Crawford has that story.
Democrats might have full control of state government, but they've had problems getting along with one another. Polls show voters are dissatisfied with the governor and state lawmakers. That could make the election a recipe for disaster for Democrats. But enter Barack Obama. His appeal in Illinois might overshadow voter backlash for the state party. That's according to Kent Redfield, a political scientist with the University of Illinois at Springfield. Redfield says Obama's popularity has Republicans playing defense this election.
It's never a good election if when you lose seats. But if you lose a few seats in the House and end up with a draw or pick one up in the Senate, the Republicans will have done very well.
Even solidly Republican districts might be in play. It's not just Obama that could hurt Republicans. President George W. Bush also gets low marks from Illinois voters. Democrats hold a 67-51 edge in the Illinois House and a 37-22 advantage in the state Senate. I'm Sean Crawford.
The presidential election isn't tomorrow's only hot contest. A referendum in an upscale suburb north of Chicago will gauge public support for a controversial historic preservation plan. Chip Mitchell has more.
The village of Kenilworth includes about 825 single-family homes, some designed by famous architects like George Mayer, Daniel Burnham, and Frank Lloyd Wright. This summer, the village board voted to nominate Kenilworth for the National Register of Historic Places. Just a handful of Illinois municipalities already have that honor. But the nomination isn't going over with some Kenilworth residents and business owners.
This is often the first step in much more stringent controls on what property owners can do with their homes.
Homemaker Kelly Kobor helped petition to get an advisory referendum on tomorrow's ballot. She hopes it'll show a lack of support for the plan. Regardless of the results, the Illinois Historic Sites Advisory Council is expected to vote on Kenilworth's nomination in December. I'm Chip Mitchell.
Scientists say a simple tool carved from a deer's leg bone is the oldest non-stone human artifact ever found in Indiana. It was found 5 years ago by college students. University of Indianapolis researchers say radiocarbon dating shows that that 5-inch-long tool is about 10,400 years old. That would make it the oldest organic tool ever documented in the state. Christopher Schmidt, who directs the college's Indiana Prehistory Laboratory, says stone tools such as spear points have been found in Indiana that are about 10,000 to 12,000 years old. But he says the bone tool excavated from an ancient glacial lake in northwest Indiana is a rare find because tools made from bones or wood typically decay over thousands of years. The tool was a device called an awl that Paleo-Indians likely used to punch holes in leather, possibly to make clothing. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 12:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Support for WILL comes from Commerce Bank. A friend to business for more than 143 years, their mission continues to be a dependable leader, providing a safe place for deposits. Commerce remains a friend during challenging times. Commerce Bank.
It's 9:35, and joining us in the weather office is our meteorologist, our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Morning, Ed.
Good morning.
I suppose if we have to stand outside in any way, shape, or form during Election Day tomorrow, we couldn't ask for better weather than what you're forecasting for tomorrow.
For the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, yeah.
Pretty
I don't
amazing.
Think it gets any better
you
than
need
that.
Sunscreen, in fact.
Yeah, that's officially a general election day, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November.
Right.
And it's not going to, it usually doesn't get much warmer than that. Our record highs for this week are between 76 and 79 degrees. So we're going to be close to that. So close to record warmth for Election Day.
Not bad, not bad. But then we take a turn for the more seasonable a little bit later in the week, huh?
Well, it does get a bit colder and damper later in the week. So typically, I think of November 1st as the day it suddenly turns gray and cold. And we're delaying that a few days this year. But we do have the cooler air on the way, along with